Case 3 today is appeal number 07-2321, Patel versus McCasey. Mr. Sanders.
Good morning, Your Honors. Raymond Sanders on behalf of Mr. Patel, who got a raw deal from the immigration judge. He's had a hearing that was fraught with pitfalls and problems, most of them initiated by the immigration judge. He came and made some testimony, although it was in poor English and because they didn't use the translator that was available, they allowed the judge to jump to conclusions that were not testified to. Although it wasn't poor English and it wasn't nice and smooth and clear, the judge took things and then went on to say, you did this, didn't you, and you did that, didn't you, and you paid this money, and then you have bad moral character and you don't qualify for a waiver and you shouldn't come in. It's pointed out in the briefs the various statements that were made and the poor conclusions that the judge jumped to and then held them as findings when there was no factual basis. Now, this came up through a couple of steps through the procedures, and I'm sure we're going to hear from the other counsel that, this is discretionary and it shouldn't be here and nobody should listen to anything. But lack of due process and the fact that the immigration judge took on an adversarial role without giving a Miranda warning that could be very damaging to the alien and send him out of the country for life.
A Miranda warning?
Pardon?
You said he should have been given a Miranda warning?
When the judge asks questions that can bring about testimony that's bad for the testifier, he's in essence asking questions that, if they were done by the police, would require a Miranda warning. And the judge should have warned him. His counsel should have objected. He had a counsel that was not effective in protecting his rights, and later on even went to help the judge and ask questions to accommodate him. So all of these factors, looked at in totality, indicate there was not a fair trial that met any kind of constitutional standard of fairness and appropriate behavior by the judge. There were questions that the judge jumped to and said, I find that you have bad moral character. And there was no finding of facts to support this conclusion. And this then resulted in a turndown of his waiver, and also a finding that he didn't have enough time to justify the cancellation of removal, because the testimony was, I came in early in 93. This must mean May, and therefore you didn't qualify. And that was completely unfounded. That was not what the testimony said. It was not supported by the testimony. And we would submit that this case should be remanded and having all of these constitutional and due process items corrected by the next judge.
Okay, do you want to save the rest of your time?
Yes, Your Honor.
Stanton.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Bo Stanton. I'm here today on behalf of the Attorney General. Contrary to what the petitioner says, he did not receive a raw deal. He received a full and fair hearing before an immigration judge. The immigration judge denied discretionary relief of cancellation or removal. He denied this relief because the petitioner did not meet any of the statutory prerequisites for cancellation or removal. The petitioner appealed this decision to the Board of Immigration Appeals. That petitioner did not seek judicial review of that decision. Thus, any and all issues that he raises in his brief and before this court today are not before this court. Rather, the only issue before this court is whether or not this court has jurisdiction to consider the motion to reopen that was filed in April of 2007. The Board of Immigration Appeals denied the motion to reopen. This court has stated recently in Kukani v. McCasey that it lacks jurisdiction to consider motions to reopen. Thus, to the extent that the petitioner challenges the board's decision-making on whether or not to grant him reopening, that is not before this court. Notwithstanding this lack of jurisdiction, this court does retain jurisdiction over constitutional issues and questions of law. The petitioner in this case raises two due process violations, which are without merit. First, he argues that he was denied due process because he was denied the relief that he sought. The relief he sought was cancellation removal. This in and of itself is discretionary. The motion to reopen in and of itself is discretionary. Thus, this court lacks jurisdiction over this issue, and it's not a due process violation. The second due process violation that he raises is that the board should have reassigned his motion to reopen to the original panel member who decided his case originally. He says it should go back to the immigration judge itself. He cites to the regulation that says that the board may reassign the motion to the original board member or to the original adjudicator. But this just says may. There is no shall. There is no sort of entitlement embodied within this regulation. Thus, there is no substantive entitlement. Thus, there cannot be a due process violation brought on behalf of the petitioner. Thus, for all these reasons and the ones embodied in the brief for the respondent, we believe the petition for review should be denied. It's a very simple case. This court lacks jurisdiction, notwithstanding that due process violations are without merit. For all these reasons, the respondent respectfully requests that the petition be denied. If you have no questions, I will see you the rest of my time. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Sanders, anything further?
Although some things may be discretionary, they should be for a reason, and the reason should be a good reason. And that doesn't mean that this court can't look into the reasons to see if discretion has been abused. Discretion can be abused either at the BIA level, or if they just do an affirmance of the lower decision, then the court has the right to look into a de novo look at what happened in the courtroom. And this brings about the appearance of all of the due process and constitutional issues that we've raised in the briefs. They show, as I've indicated earlier, the improper conclusions, and they proper look at it indicates that Patel was eligible for his relief, and he put in evidence to that effect, and it was only his attorney and the judge going against him that prevented him from getting the proper conclusion. And we would ask you to bring this to real justice. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you. Case will be taken under advisement.